Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 207, and my name is Derek Gallimore. So this episode is a little bit different. I was asked to join Ty Crandall on his podcast, which is the Business Credit and Financing Show. So the tables were turned and I was interviewed all about outsourcing, and it gave me an opportunity again to share the opportunities of outsourcing with the world. So Ty's audience is centered around business credit, lending, business finance, things like that. So it was a pretty savvy crowd. And, you know, as you can probably tell, I couldn't wait to share the joys and opportunities of outsourcing with his audience. So I hope you enjoy this. And of course, if you want any of the show notes or want any of the links, then just check them out in our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/207. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Business Credit and Financing Show. Each week, we talk about the growth strategies that matter most to entrepreneurs. Listen in as we discuss the secrets to getting credit and money to start and grow your business. And enjoy as we talk with seasoned business owners, coaches, and industry leaders on a variety of topics, from advertising and marketing to the nuts and bolts of running a highly successful business. And now, to introduce the host of our show, financial expert and award-winning author, Ty Crandall.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our show today. I'm really glad you could join us. So today, we're going to be diving into a topic that's very close to my heart, because this is something that helped me get multiple businesses off the ground when I just did not have a lot of money to be able to hire employees and do things. And even now today, this is something that's helped us grow rapidly into the future. And I'm talking about something called outsourcing. So with us today is the foremost expert on this topic, Derek Gallimore. Now, Derek started his first venture as a self-employed personal trainer at one of the world's premier gym brands. He was only 17 at that time. And that was Derek's first taste of business. He learned a lot. He caught the entrepreneurial bug, as so many of us have. Since then, Derek's been involved in the full spectrum of business property development and investment, traditional brick and mortar, commerce, and of course, web and e-commerce. Derek almost has a religious zeal for business and entrepreneurship and the benefits it can bring to the world. He's experienced the highest of highs from business and scored some incredible wins, but he's also been through his fair share of challenges, hardship, and outright failures. So the roller coaster ride of business, Derek has been outsourcing since 2011 and realized the incredible power and opportunity it presented for business. And he founded Outsource Accelerator in response to the growing need for an independent source for outsourcing information, education, and transparent marketplace. So Derek, thanks for coming on with us today.
Hi, Ty. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really excited you're here, man, because, you know, a little bit about me, you know, I owned a mortgage company. It failed. And so it wiped me out financially. And the next business I started was a consumer credit business. I didn't have any money. So I relied heavily on outsourcing. It was how I got my first exposure, because I didn't have money to hire employees. So it's what got me started. And then, you know, today where we are, virtual contractors, we have about 15 full-time here in the company. So I'm really tuned into what you're going to talk about. I think it's so important.
Right.
And I'm really excited you could join us today to talk to everybody about the importance and how this can change the landscape of their business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much for having me, because I just find this outsourcing is one of those things that's out there, and really it is so transformative for people's business. And, you know, it can save people. You know, you talk about sort of savvy business and financial control, but outsourcing can save you up to 90% of your staffing costs, which can be one of the biggest costs on any business P&L. And, you know, so it's this incredibly powerful tool, but a lot of people overlook it. It's not that obvious, because it's not often in their hometown, it's not around them, but it's out there and it's more accessible and more affordable than ever. So it's a super, super exciting opportunity for everyone in business, and even those people thinking about getting into business.
Yeah, completely agreed. It makes it possible to do so. I mean, when you can cut employment costs by 90%, it makes a lot of things possible that wouldn't have typically been possible. And this is what I see happen is entrepreneurs get started in business and they have nothing but time, but they don't have any money. So then they take on every task and they quickly run out of time because they're doing it all. And now they're generating some money, but they don't even, you know, they might not have enough to go and hire employees. So I like this, especially in the starting phase of a business, because all of a sudden people can free up tons of time for very little money and start outsourcing the tasks that they're doing. And then that helps them build the business faster to get more employees. And then when they realize what these outsourced people or tasks they can get done without needing the internal employees, I don't think that people then let it go. I think like us, it becomes an essential part of the organization where part of your business is outsourced contractors and then part of its employees. That's how I kind of see this helping a lot of entrepreneurs moving into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's any business needs human resource, you know. Ultimately, it's a leverage on time to get the output that your business wants to achieve. And the more people that you can put into that mix, the more output you're obviously going to achieve, which results in revenues. And of course, if the cost of that human resource is significantly lower, then it enables you not just to save money, but it actually allows you to add rocket fuel to your business, because you're not only able to do the things that you've always wanted to do, but then when you've got access to affordable resources, it means that you can try new business models, you can try those extra products that you haven't sort of had time to get around to, you can venture into new markets, you can launch the existing products you have into new marketplaces. And, you know, we find that people are a bit myopic about outsourcing, thinking that it's a cost saving, you know, you're going to compromise quality, but actually it's about establishing a strong resource base and then seeing where else it can take you, because that is really the exciting thing about outsourcing, is that it enables you and it gives you opportunities to do things that you've never been able to do before.
It's very true. And I like how you made the association of it being rocket fuel, because that's how I see it too. And it's how I describe it. What it allows you to do is it takes a lot of things off you and your team that you would normally be doing or they would normally be doing. But like you just said, it also opens up doors where you start doing things you would never do with a $15, $20, $30 an hour employee, but you could easily do with a $2, $3, $4 an hour employee. And this is what propelled our growth, because what happened was we started doing so much so fast that nobody could try to keep up with us. They didn't know how we were doing it. And it was outsourcers. We were able to bring these outsourcing in. But like you said, there's some people that think of this as a bad thing. They don't know what outsourcing is. They don't know, you know, how it works. So can you give some background to people that might not be familiar with outsourcing? They've heard it on the news and things almost as a negative, like it's taking job away or something like that. What really is outsourcing in your mind? And what is it? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a bit of controversy about outsourcing, and you know, it can often get mixed up with ethical concerns. And you know, thanks for asking that, because I really want to get to the root of this. Outsourcing is absolutely a win-win for everyone involved. If we talk about you know, Northern America initially, or the West as we call it, outsourcing can enable you to run a more profitable business, free up time so that you can expand your business. Outsourcing really gives you the opportunity to run a more profitable business, employ more people in your locale, and give them better opportunities of upskilling themselves. And of course, you know, a more healthy business means a more healthy community, you're paying more taxes, and you know, everything is a sort of exponential network effect from having access to good resources. In the Philippines, wherever you outsource to, basically outsourcing is an absolute boon. You are giving people the opportunity to work for a wage, to work for a salary that is fantastic for them. And it gives them an opportunity to work for businesses in the West. And it gives them an opportunity for professionalized roles and also ones with a career ladder. So, you know, it really is a win-win. But to go back to the sort of more basic point, what is outsourcing? To simplify it, just really think of it as employment, okay? It's no more complicated than that, except this person is sitting in a different room in a different country And, you know, if you take it back to the most, you know, the most basic concept, that's all it is. The, you know, we're all lucky in this day and age, and I'm sure you talk about this in your podcast and to your audience, but the setup costs of businesses now are getting incrementally less, you know, by sort of exponentially less, because everything is kind of pay by the hour, all the things are in the cloud, and outsourcing has really benefited from that, because outsourcing is really enabled because of the technological interface. You know, we're all over the internet, and now it means that basically any role that you do in any business that is done in front of a computer can be outsourced. Because if someone's sitting in front of a computer, then, you know, they can be in a far cheaper cost center. And it just really makes sense to properly partition things to the best specialist areas at the most efficient cost. So I hope I've been concise there. But effectively, outsourcing is employment, and there are effectively cheaper, more efficient places that you can get that done.
Yeah. Kind of made me think of a funny story to laugh, because I think about a year ago or 2 years ago, there was a story about this guy, and what he did was, which was brilliant. He had a job and he said, okay, I can outsource this. So he went and found somebody for a fraction of the price to outsource his own job to. Then he took a second job, did the same thing, and then they ended up finding out, like, his code was being accessed from another country. They found out, they started looking at his history, and he was just watching cat videos all day long. Well, he had these people outsourcing, doing his actual job, where he was making a trumped up wage. Made me think about that, because it's just, I'm like, the guy's kind of my hero. That's pretty smart to think about. You could do that. But what's interesting about that, and the reason I bring it up, is because the level of tasks that can be outsourced, I think, is beyond what most people think is possible. So let's tie into that a little. I mean, what kind of tasks do you think can really be outsourced?
Yeah, look, as I mentioned, anything and everything. You know, it's commensurate to where you go looking for your staff. It's also commensurate to how much you pay them. And it's also commensurate to how well you train them as well. But as I mentioned, anything that you get done in front of a computer can now be outsourced. The Philippines, which is the country that I recommend that people outsource to, we actually brand it as the Swiss banking of outsourcing, because it really is a very high quality outsourcing destination. But effectively, you know, they are producing 500,000 university graduates per year. It is, I believe, the country with one of the youngest populations in the world. And this population is growing up on a diet of NBA basketball and YouTube and kind of Western culture. And, you know, believe it or not, they're all learning from exactly the same interfaces as everyone else in the rest of the world. So they're all kind of, you know, in these hacking academies. They're all learning how to do stuff on YouTube. So the world is becoming so homogenized now. So, you know, what can you get them to do? Anything from kind of basic data entry up to building websites, up to data science. You know, there's PhDs, there's financial journalists over here in the Philippines. And, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but you can generally access these resources at 10% of the cost of what it would cost potentially in the US. So, you know, there's an incredible abundant resource here in the Philippines, and it really covers the entire span of anything you need to do in your business.
It's very true. And you touched on a bunch of things there that I want to dive into a little bit deeper. In our company, to give people an example, we use people from the Philippines for our call setters. They call our cold leads and set them up as actual appointments and live transfers for our sales team. We have those in finance. We have those on our sales team. We have virtual assistants that handle our social media, that handle our content writing, that handle our social media posting. I mean, and on and on and on, that handle just about everything to do with our content, customer service. So, you know, there's so many tasks. Sarah, who still works with me, the first Filipino virtual assistant I ever had, 9 years later, she used to run, when I owned a consumer credit business, she ran the entire back end of the consumer credit business, which is a very complicated task. But you've hit on a couple times this point of 10% of the cost. How much can you really hire somebody? Let's stick with where you are in the Philippines. How much can you really hire somebody for in the Philippines?
Yeah, and thank you. I mean, I'm glad you raised this. We, on our website, we sort of repeat a little bit that you can save 70% on staffing costs. I've mentioned here 90%. In reality, there are different employment structures here in the Philippines. The face value is a lot cheaper, but if you start to build teams and then you need the support structure, then the costs will increase. To give you a good idea, a sort of good salary here in the Philippines is about 25,000 pesos per month, which would be about $500 US per month. So, you know, for that, you would get a maybe 3-4 year postgrad student, and they would be pretty capable at things like accounting, like professional services effectively. So that could be web design, that could be an accountant, or you know, a very sort of competent, capable kind of business admin, VA sort of person. You know, you would go up to the more senior skilled people at about 50,000 pesos, which again is about $1,000 per month. And they are then, again, the senior professions and maybe kind of 5 to 7 years post-graduation. So that kind of gives you a guide as to what the salaries are. Typically though, you know, and I don't know if you use these, Ty, but I recommend using BPOs or outsourcing suppliers. And then with those costs, you often get what they call a seat fee or a desk fee or seat leasing, which is basically a monthly cost on top. And that is typically somewhere between about 300 to maybe 800 per month. But what you get for that is an A-grade office, A-grade infrastructure. You get a lot of HR and recruitment oversight for your team. And then you get an account manager, and you get some, depending on the sort of the structure of the BPO, you also get operational oversight and management of your team. So there's, you know, a few extra costs in there. But really, you're starting from a very low base, and then you're adding a few costs to bring it up to, you know, sort of somewhere around about the 70% cost saving.
Sure. And so, you know, everybody knows, and we just talked about this, and Derek just brought this up. To give you all listening an idea, in the Philippines, not having a college degree is like the equivalence of not having a high school diploma here in the United States. Easiest way to explain it. Like, if you look at the way that our culture views people without a high school diploma, it's exactly the same without a college degree in the Philippines. So what Derek is saying is that the vast majority of people over there have degrees, whereas we don't see that here in the States. That's not necessarily the case. So when he's talking about these costs of, you know, $500 a month, for example, what's interesting to know about this is this might be $2, $3, $4, $5 an hour compared to the United States hiring somebody $15, $20 an hour. And Derek, you tell me, what's the English? What's the capability of writing and speaking English and an accent and these type of things? Because I think these are some of the concerns that people have when they think about outsourcing.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think there's a bit of a hangover from outsourcing when it began 25 years ago. And, you know, you used to phone your bank, and already you were frustrated because you were phoning your bank and you got someone that didn't really know the process, weren't really able to help you. And also they had a, you know, a bit of a shocker of an accent. That has all changed now. And I think there's a bit of a hangover still from that period when all of outsourcing began. But the Philippines, and this is why I position the Philippines as the Swiss banking of outsourcing, has incredible cultural alignment to the West, specifically the US. Just to give you a bit of background, you know, 500 years ago, the country was conquered by the Spanish, which brought over a lot of, you know, kind of Western cultural alignment. That's 500 years ago. 500 years, they became Catholic, okay? And now I'm very sort of agnostic, but that sort of brings a cultural alignment that nothing else can. In the 1950s, they were then colonized by the US. Okay, so that's when very sort of quickly they started to adopt English. So you now have, you know, third generation people in the Philippines that really their English is the first tongue. And then along with the Americans, you know, you, as I mentioned, you've got everything from YouTube and MBA, all of the kind of the music alignment and cultural alignment with all of that. So English is incredible. You do obviously get better English in the major cities, the major centers, but then, you know, you get still incredible English out in the provinces. Just to give you another sort of slight perspective, English really is the single unified language in the Philippines. There's over 100 different languages in the Philippines, different dialects, because it's got 7,000 islands. So English has become the centralized language because it's the only kind of uniform language that they can all speak together. So it's absolutely ingrained in the culture. The bigger cities, they have more neutralized accents. But even now, because there's been like 20 years of call centers, these call centers even put them through accent training. They train them to have either a neutral accent. They train them to have either a US, UK, you know, Australian, New Zealand accents. So you've really got incredible cultural alignment and language alignment. So yeah, it certainly doesn't need to be an issue.
And that's what we find too, is look, some people don't speak great English without accent. Some people speak so good, you could never tell that they are not here in the United States. And that's the experience that we've had. And this is why these huge companies basically are moving a lot of their call centers out there. And it's why you guys have done what you said with, you know, kind of becoming the main hub of outsourcing. I mean, you know, you probably know better than I do. I mean, who are some of the top companies off the top of your head that are big companies here in the United States that our audience can relate to that are outsourcing over there now?
Yeah, I mean, everyone, you know, to
HP, like everyone. Dell.
It's difficult to name anyone that isn't outsourcing. But significantly, you know, I live next to the Google building, so they have thousands of people. Uber is here. They work through TaskUs. They have thousands of people here. You know, and again, harking back to the old days when, you know, things like General Electric and Western Union had their services here, they would bring them over. Well, they would have offices with literally 10, 20, 30,000 people executing their functions. So the numbers are still the same. The big outsourcing suppliers here now have teams of 40,000, 50,000 people. So it really is, you know, it covers the entire span of every kind of commerce in the US, in the West. But also what I want to drill down on is that this has been happening 25 years, and it was previously only accessible to the big conglomerates, okay, because there was a huge infrastructure cost. There was a huge commitment that only these international conglomerates could actually do, because you'd have to ship over all the service and set up facilities. And it's a bit like kind of tax avoidance of the elite, and it's a little bit like hedge funds of the elite. But now all of this has been democratized, and it is accessible only in the last 5 or 10 years to everyone. You know, whether you're an SME, whether you've got 100 employees, 10 employees, or one employee, all of these facilities are here now. The giants have been taking advantage for 20, 25 years and outcompeting all the little guys. And now there's an opportunity for the little guys to really participate in this rocket fuel.
Yeah, and you're describing exactly what we talked about in the beginning, right? And I'm not saying we're a big company, because we're not, but that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, people are like, how are you able to do so much so quick? Because we had tapped into that power of those big guys. And, you know, what we do as a company is help companies build business credit. We took this really complicated process and simplified it that used to only be for bigger companies, and now small companies can do it. That's what you do with outsourcing, right? I mean, you've taken basically this infrastructure that these big companies are building and tens of thousands of employees are hiring, and now you kind of help with the infrastructure for the small guy, the medium-sized business, with setting up and making sure that you can get hiring and training, and they have a place to work with high-speed internet access and all those type of things. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah. So, I mean, Outsource Accelerator, we are actually just trying to bring more awareness and information into the outsourcing arena. We are really serving the SME space, you know, the small to medium-sized businesses, and just trying to give them an information resource, a bit like TripAdvisor for outsourcing. So you can go to our website. We have about 600 BPOs listed on that website. We have incredible amounts of free information. You can go there, you can write a few details and get 3 free quotes from BPO suppliers, from verified BPO suppliers. And also you can go to our superstore, which is productized outsourcing services. So again, what we're, like previously, 5 years ago, it's kind of a, you know, you might relate to this, Ty, $100,000 conversation when you're engaging with a BPO, because ideally they kind of want you to take a couple of staff or roles or seats and sign up to them for a couple of years. And before you know it, you know, it's kind of a $100,000 conversation. You've gone from nothing, no outsourcing, to $100,000. And it's a little bit scary because there's a lot of unknowns. You're ultimately starting business in another country. So we're trying to make the stepping stones a little bit easier. We're trying to provide as much information as possible so that it closes that knowledge gap, and then making outsourcing more accessible by little incremental products and services that get people started on their outsourcing journey.
And I think that's so valuable because there's so many questions that we're trying to kind of to figure out now for a lot of people listening. They have a lot of concerns, and it sounds like you address all those things to help them along the way. One of the things that I think that comes up is taxes. What happens? You pay employment taxes down there if you're hiring somebody down there?
Yeah. And again, so maybe if you don't mind, we should touch on the two different models. So very commonly there are contractors, you know, and the Tim Ferriss kind of model of outsourcing is get freelancers. And, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, we've seen a massive boom in Upwork, in Freelancer, 99designs, you know, all these kind of freelancing websites. That is a little bit like the Wild West. Now, it's fantastic. It's an incredible resource. But, you know, you're really kind of on your own. And I think more and more people now are seeing that they're getting mixed results because, you know, when there's a sort of popularization of any market, you get obviously the good suppliers and players, but then also it's kind of filtered down by a bit of dross and a bit of non-performance. Now, all of those people are effectively on the gray market and informally or typically informally employed. They estimate in the Philippines alone, there's about over a million people that are on these marketplaces, on these networks, producing work, and they're not really sort of in the tax system, they're not really declaring things. Now, you know, Upwork and things have answers to that. There are very reliable interfaces and portals. You know, they're doing a great job. In contrast, I recommend you go outsourcing with an outsourcing service supplier. Now, there's an initial greater cost, but it's a bit like comparing, you know, getting some odd jobs done by a university kid that you find that you meet down at your gym versus going to a professional services firm, you know, and contracting people to get something done for your business. You know, the difference really is a little bit between night and day. So the BPOs, if you contract a BPO, they are firms, as I've said, they've probably got a 25-year history. They've probably been dealing with people like Google. They are fully registered, and you know, a lot of them have maybe 250,000 employees across the globe. They do things properly. Whatever business needs you have, they've done it before. If you want to scale up to 1,000 customer service representatives in 2 weeks, they would probably struggle, but they would get there. You know, they can have 1,000 trained customer service reps on the floor for you in 2 weeks' time. You know, incredible operations, facilities, and specialists in optimizing processes so that they're as efficient as possible. So these BPOs, you pay a BPO fee, but effectively what it means is at the end of every month, you pay one invoice, which covers all of their service fees, all of their professional oversight, and of course, the salary that goes to the employee. The employee typically, there's a lot of different structures, but typically the employee is employed by that BPO for your contract. Also, critically, you know, we want these people to be treated well. So within all of the good BPOs, and very standard here in the Philippines, is for them all to have health insurance and, you know, all of their standard benefits and salaries and holiday and sick leave and things like that. Just as a side note, the Philippines is a super pro-labor country. They really look after their employees, maybe a little overzealously, but super pro-labor. So there is none of this kind of sweatshop or unethical kind of employment, you know, there are some concerns over.
So if somebody's looking for 100 plus people, you know, it sounds like the BPO is the way to go, but is that the way to go for somebody just getting started in this? Like if somebody's just hired, looking to hire their first freelancer to see how it goes, do they go through the BPO? Do they use like a Upwork freelancer platform like you're describing? What's the best way for somebody just to dip their toe in the water that's trying to save as much money as possible just to see if this is right before they move to a level of trying to scale?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've hit the nail on the head. I really think it's key just to dip your toe in the water, just to get started. And, you know, there is actually a learning process that you need to go through yourself to learn how to get the best out of remote staff, to, you know, be very clear about the requirements, the output that you want, and then to manage those processes. So absolutely, there's a learning curve with outsourcing. And, you know, just jump on Upwork. We actually have a $50 exercise that we recommend people do. Just kind of log a job for $50 and go through that journey. Because, you know, it's a beginning. But it depends, again, how big you are and how much you foresee yourself scaling into the future. So if you, you know, have a few odd jobs done on Upwork, that's fantastic. And I absolutely encourage that. But that role itself doesn't really have a lot of scalability potential. If you get even 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week virtual assistant or PA, then if they are sitting in the province somewhere, they are going to be cheaper, but they might not be completely dedicated to you. They might not have all of the sort of security and internet infrastructure. And then also they might not scale if you are planning on kind of scaling your business. So it's absolutely, you know, very personalized, and it's up to your own organizational structure and ambitions for the future. But the nice thing is 20 years ago, there were no options. Today, there's, you know, an absolute unlimited number of options out there as to how you can start, how you engage, how much you pay, and the structure of the operation.
You know, the other thing, and I think that's great. I think a lot of the next thing in a lot of people's mind is, well, how do I find them? I mean, how do I find the best freelancer? Is it the BPO? Is it the Upwork where they find those? And how do they know like what to ask or what to look for so they could find somebody that they can rely on and have a layer of trust with?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is, so again, going back to right at the beginning, outsourcing is no different to employment, really. So you need to invest time up front into finding the right person. You ideally, and I see a lot of entrepreneurs, they're kind of rolling their eyes, and you know, really it's sort of the upfront investment in time, doing the job specification, also writing about your company, really telling people the potential about your company, really goes a long way. Then again, you have the options of going direct through things like Upwork, or then going to a more structured BPO that will sit down with you, identify your needs, and then they will actually go through the recruitment process for you. And of course, you can go to our website and we have the superstore where you can get going with things. So there's now, you know, a lot of options. The risk is that, you know, and we really encourage this, and also BPOs do as well, when you start outsourcing, people are a little bit skeptical. They're a little bit kind of freaked out. They're also busy in their day-to-day job. And if something goes wrong, or, you know, you don't get the best contractor on Upwork the first time, then people are very quick to sort of condemn outsourcing, condemn the Philippines, and just go, you know, this whole thing's a waste of time. Everyone's terrible. And I heard a comment the other day that it's like, you know, if you have a bad cup of coffee, you don't stop drinking coffee. You maybe just go to a better coffee shop. So, you know, it's about kind of not wanting to, you know, kind of condemn the whole process too much. But it is so critical to get a win in early, you know, because we're all busy people. We've all got a lot on the line, and you don't want a lot of silly mistakes by underqualified people happening. And again, With that, I would maybe advise that if you're saving like 70 to 90%, don't go too tight. Don't go too cheap. You know, pay that little bit more so that you get the better service, so that you kind of insulate yourself from the sort of the kind of lower end of the service providers.
Yeah. And just so people can get feedback from my world, we see the high end at about $8 an hour, really. I mean, the highest, I think, paid person on our team for the Philippines is about $8 an hour, and the lowest is like $2. So to give to something you can relate to, it's about $2 to $8 an hour to get somebody that normally you might spend 15, 20. And that's where it changes your mindset, because when we look at filling positions now, we say, well, we can get 2 or 3 to 1, right? 2 to 3 people from the Philippines to 1. So do we really think that one stateside can outperform 2 or 3 from the Philippines? And that's kind of what we look at. How do you do that? I mean, how do you guide your customers to know when they should outsource and when they should really be thinking about hiring for that position stateside?
Yeah, look, you know, so the essential roles stateside, I think it's still best to have your core functions close to you, okay? Your core value adds and your core specialties should stay close to you. Also, you know, any sort of operationally critical things and any kind of leadership and high level directional things should all stay very close to you initially. And then, you know, it's good to get a lot of the admin stuff done. It's good to get a lot of the kind of high repetition stuff done and the stuff that is less operationally critical. Now, I would suggest kind of choosing one role, again, just trying one thing. Don't try and outsource the whole operation, then it goes wrong and then, you know, you can't deliver your goods. Just try one role, get used to it yourself, because it takes a lot of, you know, kind of training yourself to get used to the whole thing and then expand from there. But ultimately, you know, you can move to I call it sort of reversing the pyramid, where you actually get the vast majority of the, not just the operational staff, but even the senior management staff over in the Philippines or outsourcing to whatever destination country. I do want to add that there are different structural efficiencies in the Philippines. People in the Philippines typically have more people doing the roles, so there's sort of slightly less efficiency. And also there are more people involved within the hierarchy or management structure. They don't commonly like the sort of very flat autonomous structure that is so kind of, you know, kind of trumpeted in Silicon Valley, for example. They actually prefer more of an organized, very process-oriented, KPI-guided process. And people love it when they come to work. They know what is expected of them, they know the deliverables, and they have quality control along the way that will help them get there. So there's a different sort of structural cost, and that's why when you then add, you know, more staff, and as you were saying previously, you know, it's kind of one stateside versus maybe 2.5 in the Philippines, it's never a one-for-one cost, but certainly the net position is, you know, hugely significant savings. And again, you know, it should be big savings without compromise on quality, and it should enhance your quality. This isn't sort of settling for second best here.
And that's all great. Derek, we talked a lot about, you know, hiring and onboarding and all these type of things. What about training and managing? What's your tip and advice on training and managing somebody remotely?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's easy to, when things are remote, you know, when you're kind of on Slack or chatting to people, it's easy to think of them just as a computer monitor because you've never actually seen them. These people are people too, you know, and they, again, they watch the same TV as you guys. So they have the same hopes and aspirations. They want to be involved in your company. They want to feel the same company ethos as your other, you know, stateside workers. And they're also very strongly community driven people. So they need to be involved in all of this. This isn't just an interaction with a computer that you're kind of, you know, saying, do this, now do this. So as a result of that, you know, you need to look to their sort of personal needs. They need to be shown a career ladder and aspirational kind of things, but also, you know, they require more training than the average stateside person. And again, you know, people come over here thinking, they think, you know, I'm a successful businessman in the US and I'm going to show them how sophisticated I am. But actually, people are blown away when they come to the Philippines because it is incredibly sophisticated and they have optimized processes down to, you know, the finest line. And they've been doing that for 25 years. So, you know, they will take a process where 10,000 people are doing it hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times a day, and they will optimize, you know, and there will be KPIs, metrics, quality control, and kind of a management structure to continually optimize and manage that process. The staffing solutions here kind of work like that, regardless of whether you're 10,000 people, 10 people, or one person. And these guys in the Philippines, they often flourish more in a structured environment where there are trainers, there are quality assurance people, and there are managers kind of overseeing them. And then it moves along in a, you know, in a sort of, in a nicely contained structure. I mean, I don't want to go too far from the point, but basically what it is, you know, one person can work fantastic, but it means that basically you want to spend time with them, training them, showing them through the processes, making them feel valued and making them feel that you are investing in them. Then you will have an incredibly loyal staff member. Equally as well, you know, the people here, they're very dedicated to doing quite those highly repetitive roles and they like that. Whereas in the States, you know, I think there's a bit of this sort of Gen Y, Gen Z, they all want to be CEO within the first 3 months. And you don't get that here in the Philippines. People are very diligent, very loyal.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we see too, is I think that, you know, people think that because it's another country that there's a privacy issue, that there's, you know, that they're going to do all these crazy things. But what people don't understand is, from what I've learned in many years working with people from the Philippines, like them working for an American employer is like a dream job. You know, and they just don't have this entrepreneurial bug that we have where they're taking our ideas and thoughts and thinking about doing their own thing. Their minds just don't work that way. You know, so, and I found more security in those cases because you're not bringing people, teaching them all your trade secrets with the worry that they may go out and try to do their own thing. We just never had that problem. Great content today. I mean, the stuff that you taught us from how to do this, what the process looks like, pay, expectations has been amazing. Any final thoughts as we wrap up of what others that are watching and listening should know about outsourcing?
I want to tell people that it isn't as hard as you think. It's not as scary as you think. It's not as different as you think. So, you know, as you suggested, just get started, dip your toe in, you know, and look around. So on our website, we have a huge amount of information and there's 600 BPOs listed there. And really, you can just get started with outsourcing. And because it really is the most transformative tool, I believe, in business today. So yeah, huge opportunity. And my message really is just to, you know, it's not that scary. It's not that different. And just give it a go.
Derek, where can everybody else go to learn more? I touch base on your website, and it was amazing how much information there was. There was even just one article on, you know, the pay of what it means in the Philippines and how much certain things cost that I thought was mind-blowing. Where can everybody go to learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is outsourceaccelerator.com. And, you know, that has everything there. There's a superstore there for outsourcing services. We productize those services. You can also get 3 free quotes. You just type in some of your business needs. We actually build a personalized report for you. And then we take that out to the market of verified BPOs. And there's also, it's a bit like TripAdvisor. There's 600 BPOs listed there with a lot of information, all the contact information for all of them. And I think we also have about 3,000 articles on the website now as well. So it's outsourceaccelerator.com. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, ask me any questions, that is Derek at outsourceaccelerator.com. derek.derek.derek.com, which is D-E-R-E-K.
Derek, thanks for coming on with us today, man. This has been hugely enlightening.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Doug.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure that you go to OutsourceAccelerator.com. Look, man, if I had to give three of the best pieces of advice in growing a business, this would definitely be in the top three, and it very well could be in number one. Outsourcing is the key to it. It is what the biggest companies do to be the biggest companies, but it's what the guys that get a lot of momentum in the startup space are also doing to get a lot of momentum in the startup space. So it can help you in the startup to be able to get a lot of things done you can't get done shouldering on your own. And as you grow the business, it's Derek said, it's highly scalable to a point where you can even get the thousands of workers using outside contractors through outsourcing. So make sure, again, as I always say, none of this means anything unless you take action. So go to OutsourceAccelerator.com. I found a treasure trove of information there. Their articles are phenomenal, very detailed. Check out the BPOs there. Everything you need to know about outsourcing is all right there at OutsourceAccelerator.com. So make sure everybody you visit OutsourceAccelerator.com and take an easy step to get your first outsourced freelancer to see what they can do for your business. I know it'll be mind-blowing, and once you realize what they can do, the potentials are really endless. So make sure you visit OutsourceAccelerator.com, and thank you all very much for tuning in. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Business Credit and Financing Show with your host, Ty Crandall. Watch for our next episode to get even more insight on financing and growing your business. And don't forget to check us out online at creditsuite.com for even more business growth strategies.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that. That was Ty Crandall interviewing me on the Business and Credit Financing Show. If you enjoyed that, you can, of course, go and listen to all of his podcasts on his channel and, of course, subscribe there. If you want any links or any more information about the show, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/207. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.